So I ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. And once you've done that, please keep your finger there, because I just want to touch on a question that was raised earlier. Fiona was explaining about the way that the Bible uses the word flesh, the two different meanings of the word flesh, the two senses rather in which the word flesh is used, and she quite rightly looked at Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, I think it was. Here's another example. Just keep your finger in Galatians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 puts both these senses together. So 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 2. I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, i.e. walking according to your old sinful nature. For though we walk in the flesh, next verse. You think it's a contradiction? No, it isn't. It's just that the two senses are there and they mean slightly different. They're just different. We walk in the body is what that means. For though we walk in the body, we do not war after the flesh, the old nature. All right, so three times this word is used. And you've just got to understand how it's being used and what the apostle is really saying. So he's saying, we live in the body, but we don't walk according to the old nature, and we don't fight in a fleshly way. Okay, and then of course he goes on to explain that our weapons are not carnal. That word carnal means fleshly, simply as that. Your version may have flesh. I don't think actually any version does use that word. But if you've got the word carnal, you've got fleshly. Which version is that?
NASB,
fleshly. Yes, thank you. Mm. The way that's more accurate, really. Fleshly, carnal. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, I hope that's underlined that for you. So just got to look at the context. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Another word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much that you want to instruct us, you want to lead us, and we pray for that real help, particularly as we have certain battles that we need to fight, each one of us. Help us to learn how to walk with you in such a way that we may really gain the victory. Amen. So verse 17 of Galatians 5. The flesh lusts against the spirit. That's the old nature. And the spirit against the flesh. We have talked about walking. We've talked about in the spirit. We're now going to look at battling. Okay? Battling. And we're going also to touch on hearing as well. Those two other things are very much linked with our walk. So we're battling against two things. This session we're going to look at the flesh. And here is the battle. The flesh lusts against the spirit. This is not natural desire. This is a real conflict. Animosity. Opposition. And the old nature is absolutely opposed to the Spirit of God who is in you. And the Spirit of God is implacably opposed to the old nature, which all of us are born with. There is no brooking compromise. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you want to do. We all of us had this experience, haven't we? We know what we should do, but we somehow can't do it. We'd rather do something else. I know I should go out and mow the lawn, but I'd rather put my feet up and watch something on YouTube, kind of thing. And that's just an example taken at random. Please don't read anything into what I'm saying. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And that's so, leading, being led by the Spirit is very important here. So, this is the battle that we face. So, having said that the flesh is the old nature, let's just sort of unpack that a little bit more. Practically, how does this work out? What exactly am I dealing with? Well, various scriptures help us with this. So, Galatians 5, a little bit later on, the two verses later on. Verse 19. The works of the flesh are clear, they're evident. And there then follows a list of these works of the flesh. This is not exhaustive, but this is a pretty good summary of most of them. There are other things that the scriptures also speak about as being fleshly, which aren't here. So I'm not going to go through them all, but these are the kind of things that we have to face. Now, your particular problem, let's say, might be, the end of verse 19, lasciviousness, license. That is, you know, you kind of, anything goes. It's not mine, particularly, possibly. My problem, on the other hand, might be uncleanness. All right? And that uncleanness, by the way, covers a whole host of things. It could be physical. It could be how you keep your house. It could be how you dress. It could be how you look after your body. It could be sexual. It could be all sorts of things. Uncleanness. Now, somebody was asking me about the spirit, as if it was a demonic spirit. Let me just throw in something now, in case I forget a bit later on. The danger with these works of the flesh is that if you capitulate to them over much, and only God knows where the limit is, you actually can open yourself up to demonic influence. So take the matter of uncleanness as a good example. The Bible speaks about an unclean spirit. So don't think I can just give in to uncleanness as and when I want to. Because actually what I could be doing, and please I'm emphasising the word could, what I could be doing is actually opening the door to an unclean spirit, not to possess me, but to have some kind of a hold and even drive me to do these things. And then it becomes not simply a question of it's not simply a question of me overcoming the flesh, i.e. resisting the temptation. I'm going to need deliverance of some kind. I'm going to need to be set free because my mind is so hooked on that thing that I cannot overcome it. Mm-hmm. Alright? so just bear that in mind, particularly when, you know, you have to deal with people and you have to pray with people who have an issue. It's not just simply a question of saying to them, look, you've just got to learn to walk in the spirit and not capitulate to the flesh. It may be that you need to pray for them that they will be set free from something in order that they can walk in the spirit and not give in to uncleanness. I hope that's clear. But you could multiply these examples really quite a lot here. Mm-hmm. Idolatry is another one. And remember that covetousness is idolatry. Mm. Ephesians 5 talks about. Mm. So if you love the things of the world, that becomes an idol. And the Bible talks about the spirit of the world. So there is an idolatrous spirit that can kind of take over here. So we just need to be aware of it. We don't need to freak out of it. I trust I'm not making anybody kind of, you know, anxious about it. But you just need to understand. But this list of things, this is how the old nature can manifest itself. So, now let's just touch on something else. Colossians chapter 2. You understand, you know, we could look at each of those things in detail in Galatians 5 and you'll probably be so depressed by the end of it, really. But just remember, you know, when it talks about, let's say in verse 21 of Galatians 5, murders, for example, remember that the Lord Jesus said, if you hate somebody, that's like murder. So, you know, don't think, oh, well, I haven't done this. I haven't murdered anybody. Yeah, but have you hated somebody? That's fleshly. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Something else Wives, submit yourselves. Oh, that's Colossians 3, verse 18. Colossians 2 and verse 18. Let no man rob you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So our thinking, all right, so, you know, although there was a question about body, soul and spirit, or body, mind and spirit, actually, you know, there are times that actually that there can be a bit of overlap. And it's not always easy to distinguish. So our thinking and our emotions can be fueled by the flesh. And here, the particular thing that is talked about here is basically, it says, intruding into those things that that we haven't really seen. Basically, this is just imagination let off the leash. And maybe I'm going to tread on somebody's toes, but my own personal view is that I think that there certainly has been in certain circles, Christian circles, where we regard as being something incredibly spiritual, as if it's from the Lord, when actually it's just a product of your own imagination. I mean, looking back, it's slightly comical, I think, but at the time it was deadly serious. In one prayer meeting I had years ago, when I was helping to run a young people's work, we had a prayer meeting, and one of the ladies there, and forgive me ladies, but it tends to be you that tends to come up with this kind of thing, tends to, not exclusively, but can do, because that's the way that God's made you. And this lady says, I even got a picture of, I see a cauliflower. Well, I mean, it killed the prayer meeting. I mean, and I can't remember whether I was leading it or not, but I think we all sort of said, well, yes, significance, what's the Lord saying through a cauliflower? And we haven't a clue what was being talked about. Well, I don't want to rubbish it completely. I mean, maybe that the Lord was beginning to show her, and she just needed to kind of wait on the Lord a little bit more. But if it wasn't of the Lord, and personally I don't feel it was really, you know, it's an example of just how we can dream up things, how we can imagine things. So walking in the Spirit is going to mean kind of learning to discern actually when something really is of the Spirit of God, and whether it's actually just something that I'm imagining. And then it talks about here a kind of a self-driven humility. And there is a kind of spirituality here. You know, I can come across as being incredibly humble and incredibly righteous or whatever, and it's just of the flesh. I mean, I would, you know, what happens when the monks are whipped? What do we call that?
Flagellation.
Flagellation, thank you very much. Flagellation. It's that kind of thing. It's not spiritual. Now, you may say, well, I wouldn't let that happen to me. Yeah, but how many of us do things because we feel spiritual by doing it? Now, there are things that we do sometimes which are helpful to our walk with the Lord. We both find going for a walk and praying while we're walking is much more helpful than just sitting in a chair, or because then I fall asleep. Keeps me awake if I go for a walk. But, you know, what am I doing because I'm trying to kind of earn God's approval, or because I think it's more spiritual and there's a kind of an impact on my relationship with the Lord, I think. And friends, it's nonsense. Don't be beguiled of your reward. Or it says, worshipping of angels. Well, it's worshipping, including worshipping of saints and all the rest of it, really, I would say, with that. So, Colossians 2, verse 18. Just beware that what gets puffed up in your mind, in your thinking. Back to Galatians 5. Now, let me just give you one other reference. Don't turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12 talks about fleshly wisdom. there is a wisdom that comes from the flesh, and there is a wisdom that comes from above, from the Lord. Learn to distinguish. Back to Galatians 5 and verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. So the flesh includes two things here. Number one, what the Authorized Version calls affections. And secondly, what it calls lusts. And I said we would touch on this word lusts, and here it comes. Okay, so affection, but affections first of all. Affections here, if you've got a margin, it will say passions. It's not talking about good emotions and desires. I was talking to somebody recently, and basically this person was thinking that any kind of affection was a sin. And it took a little bit of time to try and explain actually that's not the case. Worse than that, this person was then trying to deal with it. And it was causing, I would say, psychiatric problems as a result. And you know, if you try and deal with your flesh, yourself, you can't do it. Please don't try. Don't try and nail something to the cross or kill it or deal with it if you hate it. Let the Lord show you his strategy. So it's affections. I'm digressing a little bit. We may touch on something to do with that a bit later on. But affections does not equal good emotions and good desires. It literally means passions, which can be good or bad desires, but kind of let off the leash. So the Mars bar craving, you might say, is this kind of affection. It literally means what I experience, or even what I suffer. And there are various scriptures that I could give you, but I won't for the sake of time. So that's affections, but it's also lusts. And lusts also are strong desires. This is natural desires which are let off the leash, uncontrolled. a craving. It's a particular craving for what is forbidden. There are a number, and I would really again commend you to do a little study on this. Get a concordance. Look up the word lust, and it will explain to you really what the Bible is talking about. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 19 talks about lusts of other things. Romans 1:24, the lusts of their own heart. Ephesians 4 and verse 22 says deceitful lusts. You know, your lusts are deceitful. They promise a wonderful feeling. Actually, you'll regret it. What about the alcoholic? I really want a drink. And at the end of it, you know. Youthful lusts, 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Things that can be remain youthful, but actually can go on to middle and old age. Titus 2 and verse 12, worldly lusts. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, fleshly lusts. And Jude verse 18, we've already looked at ungodly lusts. Well, those are just some things. Now, Galatians 5 and verse 24 says, those that are Christ's. Are you Christ's? Do you belong to the Lord? I trust you do. Mm. And you know that. If so, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, what does that mean? Well, before we look at that, we need to go back three chapters into chapter 2 and verse 20. Where it says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, I don't know whether you know this, But when you became a Christian, something happened. Your sin was forgiven. Hallelujah. Do you know that? Harry, could you just close the door for me, please? Thank you. The punishment for your sins was taken by the Lord Jesus at the cross. He took the punishment. Hallelujah. But then it also says, and it says, he became sin for us who knew no sin, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. So our sins, the punishment for our sins, were nailed to the cross. And then it says here, I am crucified with Christ. Now, the fact that you are all here alive and sitting in front of me tells me that you were not crucified with Christ, in the sense that you are alive. All right? So what is the I talking about? It's talking about your old nature. It's talking about the sinful nature. So when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he not only took the punishment for your sins, he took your sinful nature with him. And he nailed it. It was nailed to the cross. The implications of that are that I do not have to give in to sin. I do not have to give in to temptation. And friends, this is great. It means that I can walk in the Spirit. Because the thing that's stopping me walking in the Spirit, remember we're talking about battling against the flesh, the flesh lusting against the Spirit, the flesh is dead. According to this verse. Only, you may say, and quite understandably, it isn't, Simon, is it? It's alive. I mean, if it was completely dead, I wouldn't have a trouble with it. But the fact is, the temptation is sometimes there. But friends, you need to start with this. This is your standpoint. It has been crucified. So what's happening is that actually the enemy is coming along and he's actually trying to make it alive again. The body is in the coffin. The trouble is the lid is open and he's trying to get out. I hope I've made that clear. The body is in the coffin, but he's trying to get out. So what you mustn't do is to say, oh, I think I remember you when you were alive. I rather like you alive. Let's come back to life again. What you need to say is get down there and close the lid on the coffin. I am crucified with Christ. And it's not just your sinful nature. Actually, it's you. So actually, this may raise a few questions in some of you, but it's actually your good points as well as your bad points. Everything has been taken to the cross. That's the standpoint. So what we need to do is recognise that. Recognise that you have been crucified with Christ. Just look at Romans chapter 6, please. And verse 6, not to talk about it in great detail, but because it's saying the same thing. Knowing this, that our old man, that's not your father, it's your old sinful nature, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, literally be made ineffective. That from now on we should not serve sin. So I'm trying to explain it in detail. Basically, if you're crucified with Christ, you do not need to serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Okay, so now go back to Galatians 5. If that's our position, that we've been crucified with Christ, then Galatians 5 says, well, actually, there's something that has to be outworked here. Because the trouble is, I do get tempted. The flesh is still around the place. So what do we have to do? Those that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You need to crucify the flesh. Basically, you say, Lord, I recognise that my flesh is dead and I'm going to keep it there. You don't need to give in to it. And that's what walking in the Spirit, of course, involves. You have been given a new heart. Give time to that new heart that the Lord has given you. Don't go with the old heart that doesn't want to serve the Lord. All right, now when we put this invitation out for you to come to this weekend, we posed a number of questions. One of which was, how do we overcome the flesh? Let's try and put, pardon the pun, flesh on the bones a bit. Let's just make it a bit practical. How does this work out in practice? A number of things. How do I deal with temptation? We're doing with these two things here. How do we overcome the flesh and deal with temptation? How do we win this battle against the flesh? Well, I've written about 8 things down, so let's go with it, not in any particular order of importance. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, contrary to that person that I spoke to you a few moments about, who was desperately trying to deal with the flesh himself, the Lord says, walk in the Spirit. Now, you may have a problem with, well, take one of them. Anger, is that there? In that list of the works of the flesh? Mm-hmm. Is it?
I can't see.
Outbursts of anger. Right. It's not in my... Yes, it is. Outbursts of anger. I mean, that may be your particular problem. Don't spend your waking hours trying to deal with it. Don't plan strategies of how to avoid it. Well, there may be a bit of truth in that, but don't be so preoccupied with it that it becomes the focus of your lives. Mm. Now, you know, you're all different people, and maybe not. You know, maybe this is not your problem, or this is not relevant for you. But there are some people who are so hung up on their faults and their failings, and there are others who are so hung up about the fact that they disobey God and not going to please Him, that they spend so much time worrying about it. And what does the Lord say in verse 16? He says, look, just walk with me. I mean, this term is such a little promise. If you walk with me, the Lord says, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So don't worry about your anger problem. Walk with the Lord. Right. How do you do that? You spend time with the Lord. Spend your energies talking to Him, communing with Him, doing everything with Him, for Him, through Him, etc. Let Him be your focus. Get into the Scriptures, etc., etc. You know, there's more to say about that. But then the Lord will deal with the flesh. It'll, if you like, it'll give you the garrison, it'll give you the resources to be able to deal with your anger. Now, it won't get rid of it completely. The temptations will be there. And then you have a choice. Those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. You then need to say, Lord, I'm not going to give in to that anger. But if you spend your time letting the Lord be your focus and be your preoccupation, the flesh won't get a look in. At least not so easily, shall we say. So there's a promise. You can overcome the flesh if you walk in the Spirit. Number 2, how to deal with the flesh. Galatians 6, the next chapter. And verse 8, I really kind of said this really. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So this is where the kind of the strategies, I suppose, come in helpful. I mean, if you do have outbursts of anger, don't sow to the flesh. Don't create the opportunities where the anger may be a problem. Of course, that's not always possible. But on other things, perhaps it is, like drunkenness. Don't go to the pub. You know, give yourself strategies to help you. So don't sow to the flesh. Don't make opportunity for it, it says elsewhere in the New Testament. But instead, sow to the Spirit. Give yourself to the Lord. Number 3. One of the statements about the Lord in 1 John 1 is that he is light. And we're to walk in the light. We looked at that, didn't we, earlier on. This is one of the walks that we're to do. We're to walk in the light. What does walking in the light involve? If we walk in the light, 1 John 1 verse 7, we have fellowship one with another. That's us and the Lord. So you're walking in the Lord, walking in the Spirit, you're having fellowship with the Lord. He is light. One of the functions of light is to expose, to bring out into the open. Now, we've talked about the obvious things of drunkenness and of anger, but what about the more subtle things about the sinful nature? The creeping pride, or the envy, or the, you know, the things, you know, the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, the things that you're particularly prone to, and maybe, you know, self-centeredness or selfishness. You know, there are a whole host of things, aren't there? What about those things? And we get so used to them that actually they're not an issue for us. We don't know that they're there sometimes, and even sometimes we don't think that they're a problem. If we walk in the Spirit, if we walk in the light, the Lord will expose. One of my prayers quite often is, Lord, please will you show me if there's something I'm doing wrong. Please will you expose if there's something here that I need to learn or whatever. So as you walk in the Spirit, you will find that the Lord will sometimes, if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, it's as if he'll put his finger on something and you'll suddenly be convicted. That's a bit of pride there. It's a bit of self-centeredness there. And then you say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't realise that. And that's when you need to confess your sin to the Lord and repent of it, receive his forgiveness, and then move on. Don't go back and revisit it. Months on end. Some people have got a habit of confessing the same sin again and again and again. Friends, the Lord has forgiven your sin. And when he says, I've forgiven you, he puts it out of his mind. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So let God expose. What I'm saying is, don't go navel gazing. Don't contemplate your navel. And don't condemn yourself. There is no condemnation for those who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Number four. Put down here, stand on your position in Christ. You are in him. Declare that as a truth. Say, Lord, I stand in you. I declare that I'm in you. And indeed, I suppose really what I'm saying is, declare the truths of what God has said about you. So there's a scripture in Colossians 3 that says, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Lord, thank you that I'm dead. Lord, thank you that my life is hidden in Christ in God, with Christ in God. Declare them and stand on them. You may not feel it, but that's the truth. And your walking is an outworking of those truths. Number five. Recognize, I mean, some of you know these things, I'm sure, but recognize that just by being tempted, that is not a sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. He did not sin. It's what you do with the thoughts. So James chapter 1. Let nobody say when he's tempted that it's God who's tempting me. You have been tempted through your flesh, by the enemy through the things of the world, very often free or involved. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. Every man or woman is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then it compares it to conception. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. So you need to resist the, conception, really. Don't give into it. Once you've given into it, something has been put into your heart and it will bring forth sin. So, and I would just very practically say, with a temptation, assuming you can do this, sometimes it's not possible, but say, I refuse that temptation in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I resist that in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And then get your eyes on something else and sing a hymn, sing a song, read the scripture, go and do something that will take your mind off it. Mm-hmm. But get your focus on the Lord and away from the thing that's been troubling you for that moment. Now, of course, if you are in the office and it's an open plan, if you suddenly say, I resist that temptation in Jesus' name, it's not always possible. But you have to say it under your breath or do something. But again, the Lord will help you with a strategy. But there needs to be a stand taken against it. And if you do sin, confess it, as it says in 1 John, keep short accounts with the Lord. Next thing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number seven. Take up your cross daily. Be willing to do that. And this is what Jesus says in Luke 9, verse 23, that if we're following the Lord, we need to be willing to take up our cross daily. That's really what we've been talking about. You need to be willing for the Lord to deal with that old nature. Failing all of these strategies, failing all of these things that I've said, if you have a problem, if you are really bound by something, get help. Go to somebody who you feel can help you. Ask them to pray with you. But if, a bit like we were saying from Mark chapter 5, there is a need for even a help in some way, laying on of hands or whatever, if there's a demonic element particularly that's involved, get help if you need it. So those were two questions that we asked or we posed. How do we overcome the flesh and deal with temptation? Now, let's move away. In one sense, move away. I said we're talking about battling and we'll talk about hearing. Absolutely vital in all this is that we hear. Learn to hear the voice of the Lord. I'll talk about how we can discern the difference between the Lord's voice and other voices a little bit later on. But really, what we need to do, it's all part of walking in the Spirit, it's absolutely vital, is that we learn to get into the Word. And this is a whole another weekend. And some of you have heard me and others speaking about this. But it's absolutely vital that you do get into the scriptures. Can I just throw out a few things as they occur to me? Be realistic. If you're a busy housewife and mum, don't think, not that you would do, that, you know, don't plan to have 2 hours of Bible study when it's impossible for you to do that. The other side of the coin is, don't let that be an excuse and don't do anything. You have to get into the Word. It's a question of the will. If you want to do it, if you see the need for it, the Lord will help you to make the time for it. It may be at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I don't know. But just carve out the time. I can think of a mum, busy mum, and anyway, her heart is absolutely set on following the Lord, and she has arranged, she knows exactly how to deal with the kids in such a way that she has half an hour, or whatever it is, to be on her own with the Lord. Now, of course, bless you, of course, crises happen, you know, and you have to deal with them. I'm not being unrealistic about it. But make the time to get into the Word. And then read the five ways that the scriptures speak about. Read the scriptures through. And be realistic. Okay, if you can't do it for more than 5 minutes, do it for 5 minutes. But read the scriptures. Memorize. I'm suitably convicted. And you realise, by the way, my saying all this to you, I'm going to be judged much more strictly. I'm not saying all this this weekend because I've arrived. If I point the finger at any one of you in what I'm saying, I've got three fingers pointing to me. All right? So I'm going to be judged much more strictly on all this. I'm only too aware of it. Where are we? Yes, memorising. The reason I was mentioning that is because I'm hopeless at memorising now. I used to be better. But start doing it when you're younger. One verse a week, one verse a fortnight, or whatever. But commit something to memory. And the wonderful thing is when you do that, it can then go with you for the rest of the day. Study. Study when you need to. Not everybody is a great studier, but if you are, get into the word, but don't overstudy. But learn to handle. I mean, I've done a bit of donkey work for you. I've given you some ideas of things you can look at a bit more. Get into the word. So that the word can begin to be like a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And you can begin to recognise actually when the Lord is speaking to you through what you're studying. Hearing, anointed preaching and teaching. Not everybody is an anointed preacher or teacher. Don't listen to the rubbish. And number five, meditate. Chew on it. Ponder it. And that just may be a phrase. Again, be realistic. I'm not going to set a time and say your quiet time in the morning if it is in the morning. And if it's quiet, it may not be quiet and it may not be in the morning. But have a time with the Lord regularly. This is what is so vital. If we are to walk by faith, because faith involves hearing from the Lord. You won't be able to walk with the Lord unless you learn to hear what the Lord is saying to you through the word. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, it talks about. And then your prayer life, develop it. Talk to the Lord. And don't always pray for yourself and your own needs. Pray for others. Get your eyes off yourself. We live in such a self-centred age, don't we, these days? Everything is about me, my wants, my needs, my pleasures. Just, what about somebody else? Be available to the Lord. And develop that friendship with the Lord. Develop that relationship with the Lord. Well, there's so much more that can be said. But, you know, hearing involves, I think there's a psalm, just let's finish with this and then we'll stop and have a question time. Psalm 40. Let's finish with this. Appreciate it's been a long session, but there's no way to kind of be brief with this, I'm afraid. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Your version may have a margin, mine does. He brought me up also out of a pit of noise. That's what that phrase means. If your goings are going to be ordered and established, if your relationship with the Lord is going to be established, the noise needs to be dealt with. And so many of us are kind of, our hearing is full of other voices from so many quarters, and we need to deafen, we need to put those voices out of our hearing. We need to learn to hear the Lord. Keep those other voices in proportion. And I've just noticed, and this is just maybe a complete digression, but it may just give you an example. Maybe just throw out the question really is, what do you listen to? Somebody I've begun to see recently. And part of his problem is that he spends so much time listening to the wrong kinds of music. I would actually say listening to any kind of music, really, is potentially harmful, dangerous. But this is certainly the wrong kind of music. What do you listen to? I mean, if you go around with your headphones on for 2 hours a day or whatever, you're not going to be able to hear the Lord. Of course you're not. Of course you're not. What noises are coming into your life? What noises are you listening to? The Lord wants you to be brought up out of them in order for you to be established. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you'll find yourself in a miry clay, you'll find yourself sinking even deeper. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is David's testimony, this is what the Lord has done. Moving down to verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Prophetically, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10. But it has relevance for us now. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. The Lord Jesus walked with his Father because his ears were opened. The Lord is not looking for you to bring a great sacrifice, for you to bring a great offering. He's looking for your hearing. He's wanting your attention. My ears have you opened. Quite literally, if you've got a margin, it means my ears you have dug. Friends, walking in the Spirit for some of us initially is going to mean that the Lord is wanting to dig out of your ears the things that you've been listening to, the lies you've believed, the wrong teaching you've had, etc. Remember that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The deceptions, the lies, the errors that maybe the enemy's fed to you, maybe you've believed about yourself, these things he wants to dig out. And for some of you, if your relationship with the Lord, your hearing is not as good as it should be, and therefore you're not walking in the Spirit as you should be, it's because things need to be dug out. My ears you have dug. It could also mean bored. B-O-R-E-D. Bored. And some of us need like a pneumatic drill to get the stuff out. There needs to be a boring. Anyway, we'll stop, I think, lest I'm going to be boring you. Anyway, burnt offering and sin you have not required. Then I said, lo, I come. It is written in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. That's what walking in the Spirit invites. It's doing the will of God. And what's more, delighting to do it. The will of God is not your instant perfection. It's not a sudden transformation. It's that relationship with the Lord, just walking with him. But for that to happen, his law needs to be written in our hearts. And that really is to do with our hearing. The Lord can dig out our ears, silence the noise. He can then write his word upon our hearts. And the incredible thing I've found anyway is that actually you don't even notice it. What I mean is, you do notice that you're giving time for the Lord and you're so on and so forth. But maybe some years later, somebody, one of your friends or maybe one of your enemies will come along and say, you know, Simon, you used to be such a pain in the neck because of dot, dot, dot. And I've noticed now you're different. The changes can happen gradually. It's a question of maturity. I mean, when did you notice that you weren't a teenager any longer? You didn't, did you? You suddenly, you didn't look in the mirror on your 19th birthday and think, oh, on your 20th birthday, I beg your pardon. It's the year problem with it. On your 20th birthday and think, oh, I'm no longer a teenager. I've grown up. You know, you sort of, and particularly those of us who've got a bit more grey hair, or I haven't suddenly realised I'm middle-aged or even older. You know, it just happens without you realising it. And your maturity is like that as well. And somebody will say, you know, it's a really fine head of hair you've got there. Or, you know, you're looking really attractive now because you're in your 20s or early 30s or whatever. Or, you know, that's a, you know, you change. It happens without you realizing it, is what I'm saying. And friends, that happens with our relationship to the Lord. Others can see it. You may not. So don't worry about or wonder how you're getting on. Just walk with the Lord. And as you do, the law of the Lord will be written upon your heart, and God will transform you. And part of the evidence of that, actually, you will discover, is that the Lord will begin to use you. And his word to you will also be a word to somebody else as well. Hallelujah. Let's pray.